Welcome to the Edinburgh Cider View, episode 22. My name's Neil Caldwell. I have with me James Cocker, a.k.a. IT.
Good evening.
How are you?
I'm good.
Good stuff. Right. We have many ciders to get through.
We do, but before we get into the ciders, I just thought I'd remind listeners of what we agreed at the end of the last podcast.
What was that?
That this show would be completely prepared by yourself.
Well, leaving aside your fridge.
Well, I've chosen the cider, so yeah,
that's okay. Pretty much it. So we'll deal with my content after
so
your fridge.
It could be a bit of a different show, I'm guessing.
Okay.
So we'll. I have no idea what's in store, but let's get into the fridge and then we can find out. So in the fridge today, after our we had four kind of ciders. I don't think we'd had any kinds of before. Four completely different cider brands. So this week, I've gone for a vintage selection from three pretty well-known cider producers and one not so. We have got a Sheppey's Vintage Reserve.
Okay.
An Aspel 2012 Vintage Imperial.
Did we not have both of those ciders, different variants of them, in episode one? I think we did.
Well, we didn't have...
We had an Aspel and a Sheppey's, but we didn't have the vintage
yeah,
versions.
Yeah, that's exactly just what I said. As in, last time we had ciders we'd never had before.
Yes, but I said episode one specifically.
Oh, both in the same one, is that what you're saying?
Right, anyway,
we might
on.
Have done. We have a Thatcher's 2011 vintage. I think that kind of shows how long we've been waiting to have that. And also, slightly differently, not as quite as mainstream, we've got a McCrindles. That is what it says, isn't it?
McCrindles.
McCrindles 2012 vintage.
Okay, before we start, what does vintage mean?
So, I believe vintage means that all the apples are from the same year.
Same crop, same year, I thought.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Well, let's find away.
I'm not sure if that's, if it is a kind of, wouldn't be surprised if it's one of these loosely used terms like scrumpy is these days.
Okay.
So, I'm guessing they're all going to be kind of medium. That one's dry. Let's, if that says dry, let's start off with that.
Okay, so this is a McCrindles Vintage 2012.
So this came from Bristol Cider Shop. I'm going to move my glass away from the laptop because it's a wee bit close.
Yeah, this is 6%. Vintage cider tends to be stronger, doesn't
it? It does, yes. Those four are, these are some of the stronger ciders.
And we have four to get through.
But this is probably the weakest one, this 6% one.
So the 6% is the weakest one.
So, McCrindles, small batch cider.
Quite dry, but quite nice.
Quite dry, but quite nice. Yeah.
It's dry without... It's dry in the sense that there's nothing sweet about it, but it doesn't... It doesn't have that very big, musky dryness that you sometimes get.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
It's quite clear. There's a little bit of fizziness about it.
Bit of a twang there. Yeah. This is quite drinkable.
It's a bit tart, almost.
Mmm, it is slightly.
Full-bodied dry cider, they call it. Quite good. Quite good, but it's not what Gloucestershire this is from.
Oh, yeah.
Have we had any Gloucestershire ciders before?
We must have done them all by now, surely.
It's still kind of cider country, isn't it?
Yeah.
Gloucestershire, Herefordshire is next to that kind of bit from the West Country to Wales Avenue, isn't it? So it's quite good.
I like this. It's nothing dramatically different, but it's a good, drinkable, dry cider.
Yeah. Well, given I've just had quite a big dinner, it's quite nice not to have something that's too taxing. Does
okay.
that make sense?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, given it's quite strong dry cider, sometimes you're expecting something that actually is quite filling.
Mm.
This is relatively okay. So not a bad start.
Not a bad start.
Not a great deal to say about it, though.
No, there isn't with this one. I think this one, especially brand-wise, this is probably the least known, for sure, of the four cider makers
but
that we're having
it's
tonight.
It's got something slightly different to it. It's not... I would give it a 6 or a 6.5. I'm not sure which one. I'll give it a 6.5 because it's actually... It's quite a good cider.
Yeah, I'm going to go for... What grades can we go for again? Can I go for 6.75?
No, you can't.
No.
How many episodes have we done now?
This
is our episode 22, and you can't remember the grading system.
Okay. I'm going for a 7.
You're going for a 7?
Yeah.
So you're going to artificially bump up the grade
no,
to 6.7?
No, I was going for a 7.
Okay, right. So it's a 6.75 mm-hmm. overall for McCrindle. Not a bad score, not a bad cider.
Yeah.
Right, next on the menu.
God, you're rattling through these again like we did last time round.
Well, what would you expect? Did you want me to fill between ciders now?
Well, I know we need to get to the point a bit, but... Anyway, what do you want to crack open next? Thatcher's, Aspel's or Sheppey's?
I'll go from what I'm expecting to be worst. Are they all about as dry as each other?
Not necessarily. For example, the Aspel's is a... doesn't say... The Sheppey's is... I think the Sheppey's is a medium...
Thatcher says medium dry.
Okay, let's go for the Thatcher's.
Right.
So, Thatcher's is one... We haven't had any Thatcher's on the show, haven't we? Have we?
I thought, did we not have one?
I don't remember having
but
one.
But you see, Thatcher's do a lot of different...
Thatcher's do. I mean, people will probably have heard of Thatcher's... Oh, I can't even remember it now. What's the Thatcher's you get in...
Gold.
Ah, Thatcher's Gold. Okay,
Katie. That's great.
And Thatcher's Katie and that kind of stuff. Those two aren't really proper ciders, but I am aware that Thatcher's do some decent ciders at some end. Now, I do not know if this Thatcher's vintage is...
Well, you'd expect, right, okay, leaving aside some of the poorer combinations, they're a well-known historic cider company from Somerset, so you're expecting their vintage cider to be good,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I am.
Okay, so it's a quite darker colour.
It is.
A toffee brown almost.
That's a nice description. I like that.
Quite fizzy. It's sweeter than the last one.
It is a bit sweeter. It's,
I'm not sure yet.
It's fine.
I think my taste buds are still clouded by the previous one.
We're going the right direction at least. If it's sweeter.
It's okay. It's quite good, but then there's something at the end that I don't like about it.
Something
slightly artificial
at
the end.
Do you know what? I was thinking that as well.
Which is a shame, because it feels like it's going to be a really nice round finish, and then it's not.
Yeah. Do you know what? That's exactly what I was thinking.
But it still tastes quite nice at the start.
Mm.
So it's not unpleasant. I mean, we're still not quite as the cider snobs as to say that we don't like it and we wouldn't want to taste it, because there's something quite nice about it at the start. But it's still hitting your cheap taste buds, let's call it.
Yeah, I mean,
the sweeter end to it.
I'd put up with this in a pub. I wouldn't
put up with it.
I wouldn't put up with a Thatcher's Gold in a pub.
Yeah, that's a good way of saying it. I think we're both in the same hymn sheet with this one. I'll give it. I'm going straight to the grade here.
Okay.
Right.
Go on.
I would give it a 6.
I was thinking 6 as well.
And I think that's about as fair as we can do.
Because
It's okay. And, like, again, well, I say this quite a lot, but if I saw that in a pub, compared to the usual you get in most pubs, would be fairly comfortable with it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That was easy.
That was quite straightforward. I mean, the one last thing I'll say is I don't think you'd necessarily know straight from the taste that it was a 7.4.
7.4%, yeah. But that's another thing I've noticed with some of these vintage ciders. Well, or generally with good cider. Really strong stuff, you don't necessarily taste it.
Mm. Yeah, true.
Anyway, on that note, out of the frying pan into the fire, next up, we have an Aspel. Long time since we had an Aspel.
It is.
Borderline real, not real. There's debate about it, usually seen as not real.
There's only one thing about the Aspels that makes it not real, which is, I think it's just is it the carbonisation side? There's one point about Aspels.
It's added carbonation.
Something like that.
But then, I mean, these two were both carbonated to some.
They're close to it.
Or is that natural? Is the McCrindle's naturally carbonated?
Possibly.
Okay. Anyway, Aspel's 2012 vintage. This is an 8.2%.
Yeah. That's probably the strongest.
That's about as strong as you're allowed with cider.
Yeah, probably.
And the only equivalent that I know of is the Henry Weston's vintage.
Mm.
Which is a vintage that we're not having in the present show.
No, that's true.
Thank God, because that would be 8.2%, and they'd be stuttering out. Anyway, we've had a few Aspels before. This is the vintage version, very, very fizzy.
Fizzy, dark again, similar toffee colour, I'd say.
Yeah, but not even fizzier. As.
Bit of a smell of something.
Yeah, it smells like cider.
Now, that's a wee bit different for my catchphrase.
It's alcoholic. It's definitely, if you are finishing work of a Friday night and you want a drink, I think it meets the definition.
Yeah, it's an interesting one, this. It's
It's spelt cider with a Y, out of interest.
Yeah, they always do. I suppose it's there's a reason for it.
Pretentiousness?
No, there's a reason for it. They haven't just chosen to brand it like that. It's something like, because they say it all over in the back. There is a reason. We'll have to look it up. But there is a reason why it's called a wine.
The thing is, Aspel these days is not something, even if it's on tap, I would never really be fussed about ordering it or not.
Yeah.
In fact, if it's on tap, I'll get a beer. If that's all they've got. The best you've got in your pub is Aspel's on draft, I'm getting a beer.
Okay. If I don't do beer, so I'd have to put up with the Aspel's. But, I mean, if I saw this, I'd get it. It's different. It's the vintage. It's the stronger one. I'm not sure about this taste. It's different.
It's only different in the sense that you're getting more alcohol out of it. You can taste the added alcohol, which is unusual in a vintage.
Well, I'm not sure. There must be something else causing that. But
I don't know. I don't think
I can't match that taste with anything we've had recently, at least.
There's nothing special about this. What are you doing?
Sorry, I'm just looking up cider with a Y.
You're looking up cider with a Y?
Yeah, during the show.
Interrupting your own fridge feature.
I know. It's complicated. I'll look it up after the show. So, yeah, right. What am I going to give this? Cider with a Y. Aspel's 2012.
You notice, right? Neither of us have finished the glass. It's like we've had plenty. I mean, it's not that bad.
Mm.
It's just...
Mm. None of these three have really excited us tonight.
There's something quite nice about it in a way.
I'm not sure about it.
I'll give it a 5.5.
Mm. So I give the Thatchers a 6, didn't I?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm going to give it 5.5 as well.
So 5.5 for Thatchers for the Aspel Imperial Cider 2012 vintage.
Mm.
Not so good?
No. I'm hoping this last one, the Sheppey's Vintage Reserve, is going to
be
better. I kind of hope so. Sheppey's is it's a well-known...
We should maybe slow down a wee bit. We're getting through this. This is properly strong cider. Today. I don't know why we're going so fast.
Well, I don't know. Neither do I.
Well, I suppose we just started the show. I arrived and we just went straight into the show.
We have sped up recently. Possibly not a bad thing, keeping it concise. But I don't know how much content you've got after this feature. So,
So we're now just going to fill gradually. And...
Well,
anyway, right. The Sheppies is the next one. So Aspel 2012 Imperial Cider gets a 5.5. Thatcher's 2011 vintage got a 6.
Yep.
And McCrindle's 2012 vintage cider got a 6.75.
Yeah, I thought, was it not a 7? No, a 6.75. You're right, yeah. I think.
Right, okay. So finally we get the Sheppies.
So, Sheppies, Vintage Reserve, Somerset Cider. Let's crack this open. So we've had a couple of Sheppies in the past. In fact, I had a Sheppies on Friday night in the Hanging Bat, but not the vintage, it's the 2012 vintage.
You know something about this show?
Go on.
We've had two Somerset, a Gloucestershire, and I think an East of England or East Anglian one. So no Herefordshire cider for the first time I can remember.
Interesting. So this one's a bit paler.
Yeah.
Still a bit... Wee bit golden.
I remember our views on Sheppies changed dramatically between episode 1 when we first had a Sheppies and then about 7 shows later when we tried it again.
Yeah, yeah. Because we didn't really know what we were talking about in episode 1, let's be honest.
No, we didn't. But that's a good sign up.
Mm. That is my favourite of the bunch, actually.
7.4. It's got a very, very wooden aftertaste. That's the aftertaste I didn't like with Sheppies when I first tried it.
But okay.
I quite like it now. Yeah, you'd get that again, wouldn't you?
Yeah. It's not one that you would... necessarily, it's got quite a strong taste to it, so it's not something you drink loads of. But I mean, 7.4 vintage cider.
Yeah, I liked it first. Maybe it's a bit too. It makes it taste drier than I think it actually is.
Yeah,
that kind of wood chippings finish or something.
It does say it was aged in oak vats, so that must be what you're tasting.
Well, I'm not daft, am I? I know what I'm talking about now.
Oak matured.
It's quite good.
Yeah,
quite like that.
Yep, I like that.
But not amazingly.
No, yeah, exactly. It's not.
It's not above an 8.
No, I was going to go for 7.
I'll go 7 as well.
Wow, we've been very agreeable.
We're agreeing
tonight.
Does that make it a poorer podcast when we agree?
I don't know. So we disagree and see what happens.
So, well, 7's the best mark we've had, though.
Yeah,
I think we're broadly right in our grading. So. We're saying Sheppey's, of the vintages we've had, Sheppey's is the best one. We're then saying McCrindle's is the second best. The next best, we've got Thatcher's, and then the Aspel last, which is about the order I might have guessed at the start of the show. So in the battle of the vintages, Sheppey's wins.
Yeah.
There you go.
Shortly followed by McCrindle's. So where, I'm trying to think where I got that Sheppey's, actually. Where did that Sheppey's come from?
Well, it could have come from anywhere in Edinburgh. You can get it in like Margiotta's, things like that.
I cannot remember where I got the Sheppey's.
Anyway, we'll press on. We'll go to cider news.
Oh, right. Okay, so...
Neil's cider news.
Neil has got cider news, has he?
What, yes.
What have you got in store for us this week, then?
I've only got two items, right?
Okay.
But whilst we're on Thatcher's...
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Right? Mm-hmm. There's a new 8.4% cider from Thatcher's that is now available.
Ah, okay.
They've made a special edition from 458 varieties of apple grown in one orchard.
458 varieties?
So they've called the cider Thatcher's 458.
458 varieties of apple in one cider?
In one, no, 458 varieties of apple from one orchard to make a batch of cider. So it's a blend of many apples from one orchard.
Yeah. 458 different types of apples.
Well, yeah, that's what you...
That seems a hell of a lot.
Well, I mean, maybe it is. But, I mean, how does cider work? I mean, you press all your apples together, so I suppose, yes, you may have elements of all 458 apples, or depending on when, what trees were next to each other, you might get different ones. I don't know.
Well, no, I think once it's all kind of mixed in together in your big, massive vats, it doesn't really matter. I'm just surprised that that's a big number of varieties. But, okay,
it
cool.
Is, yeah.
So, when's it? Where are we going to... Where can we find it?
You can get it on the Thatcher's website.
Okay.
Soon.
Right.
Available now from the Thatcher store and additional outlets to be confirmed.
All right.
More specifically.
Okay. 8.4. That's 8.4. That's got to be the strongest cider I've
That's
come
on the limit as far as... 8.5 is the limit.
Okay.
That's why here.
Interesting.
Yeah, that's enough about that.
Okay, fine. Next.
Big project though. Oh, bad news. Bad news from Michigan.
Uh-oh.
Not bad comedy news. Bad news in the sense of a cider maker has been sentenced for 4 years.
Right.
After making bad cider. You don't want to go about making bad cider in Michigan.
Right, please tell me it wasn't JK's Scrumpy.
Not to my knowledge.
Well, JK.
Although the man is described as the way the police in this country and obviously in Michigan like to do as well. A northern Michigan man has been sentenced for up to 4 years in prison after bad apple cider led to an E. coli outbreak.
Oh dear.
Yeah. So Michigan listeners,
yeah,
may want to import some Scottish cider in the meantime.
Yeah.
Let this E. coli outbreak... I shouldn't make light of an E. coli outbreak, I suppose.
I mean, yeah, that's kind of worrying that you could catch E. coli. I haven't even really considered catching E. coli from some cider.
Well, but it was meat, isn't it? The Scottish E. coli break about, 15 years ago was based on meat, I'm sure.
Yeah. It did seem more of a meat thing. Oh, well.
But he pleaded guilty to willful misbranding and adulteration of food products.
Does that mean he put it in on purpose?
I'm guessing so.
Okay.
Hence the word adulteration.
Right. Well, that's not going to do a lot of good for Michigan cider then, is it?
No. I mean, that's the only two snippets of news I've got.
Mm-hmm.
I did, in fact, hold on, if you bear with me 1 second, I might have another item of news that I saw briefly.
Okay, we're bearing with you.
Canadian cider news.
Oh, Canadian cider news. So just to recap to our listeners who didn't hear the last show, I am moving to Canada. And I'm not looking forward to the selection of cider that I'm expecting to find in Ottawa. Come on, then.
Right, yeah.
Are you just Googling cider news just
no.
now?
No.
No, making it up on the spot.
No, there was something I found earlier. But I forgot to include it in my actual notes for the show.
Right.
I'm okay. Not experienced at this. No,
obviously not.
So, it's an article about some boy that went to the hard cider competition at the Ontario Fruit and Vegetable Convention.
Okay.
And this boy, clearly a cider fan,
mm,
surprised at the quality and variety of the entrants.
Okay.
He describes one entrant that had a nose that was so tannic, one assumes from the skins of the apples during the pressing. Which comes back to a previous podcast, talking about tannins.
We were.
Tannins and the effect they have. Was it the tannins that we were tasting? It was quite a bitter taste. We thought so, we weren't sure.
We weren't sure, but yeah. Even though we should know these things, but we weren't sure.
But the winner of the competition was West Avenue Cider. So if you are in Canada,
mm-hmm,
And you will be soon.
I will be.
You'll be looking out for West Avenue Cider.
So where are they based?
They're based in Canada.
Right, province at least? Canada's a very big place.
Ontario, I'm guessing.
Are you okay?
But I think this boy came from Somerset, so they're saying here. But
okay.
But 9%, he's got a 9% number as well.
So. Okay, interesting.
So have a look out for that, West Avenue Cider. It goes back to what you're saying about Ontario cider. Maybe there is more cider from Ontario.
No, I think there is a decent amount of kind of craft ciders in Ontario, but I don't think they're easily to get your hands on. I think you actually need to go straight to them to get your hands on them.
Right.
From what I understand.
But you'll soon tell us all.
But I will soon be
stay
able
tuned
to work this out.
To yes. IT's Canadian adventure. Right, so in the absence of any more news about doing IT, I've got a quiz for you.
Oh, this could be fun. This could be fun. My first ever quiz.
Yeah.
Right.
So true to form, I've given you a stupid opening question.
Right, hold on. Let me get my pen and paper at the ready.
Is that a pen and paper and you're not cheating by looking at...
No, pen and paper.
Right.
On my iPhone.
Question one.
Okay, question one.
How many French ciders are on our league table?
How many? I'm just going to pick it. Do I get it to the nearest, like, two or something?
I'll give you a margin of error of one if you can tell me what the margin of... Okay, put your answer down, and then I'll come back to... I'll give you a margin of error of one depending on something I'll tell you once you give me the answer.
Okay.
So
okay.
Just make guess.
Nothing. Right, okay. So how many French ciders have we had on the show? I would say we've had... Okay, I've got my answer.
Okay. Question number two. Can you describe the difference between the Edinburgh Cider Review's definition of proper cider and Camera's definition of real cider?
So, the difference.
Yeah. So, obviously, the two are defined as being different things. What are the differences between proper cider as defined by us and real cider as defined by Camera?
I didn't realise we'd actually laid down some complete differences.
Well, we've written a description.
Have we? Well, yep. I wrote that description, didn't I? I wrote that a while ago. I should
so
probably know what
answer,
it says.
Do you need more time?
So the difference. I'd say that proper cider is...
You meant to write down your answer.
Cider, that... Yeah, I'm trying to think. This is a bit of... This is like... It's not just like a word. It's a whole thing.
Well, just make some notes.
I've got to have a think about this. Right, okay, so our proper cider definition was basically ciders that, okay.
You got your answer? Or roughly?
Not really.
Question number three. What percent ABV is Dunkerton's premium organic cider?
Ooh, good question. Dunkerton's premium organic, okay.
You got an answer?
I have an answer.
Are you confident with this one?
Ish.
Right, question four I'm proud of.
Right, go on then.
Which principality the north of the country is known as the home of cider in Spain, producing, amongst others, El Gaitero?
So we had El Gaitero on the show.
Yes.
Quite some time ago. Which what of Spain?
It's known as a principality, but it's you might think of it as a province of Spain. Like Spain's a very regionalist country, so it's got countries within the country. It's very...
Okay, next.
So you're happy? You got an answer?
I'm next.
Well, that's four questions.
Oh, right, four questions. Okay.
Okay, so question number one, how many French ciders are on our league table?
Right, I guessed five.
Very wrong. The answer was eight. I would have given you seven.
Very wrong.
I would have given you seven, because one of them was the Christian Poir, which is a perry, so technically I said ciders... But it is on our league table, so I would have accepted seven.
Okay, it's quite a lot.
Explained.
It's quite a lot. Okay.
So that's one wrong. So the difference between proper cider as defined by the Edinburgh Cider Review and real cider as defined by Camera?
It's just more that we don't care if it's whether it's pasteurised or carbonated or that kind of stuff, as long as it's got a decent percentage of apples. And it's been made by traditional techniques, then we're happy with proper cider.
I'll give you that.
Yeah.
I'll give you it. But to be honest, the Camera definition, see if you look at Camera's website, this is another point of view on it.
Mm.
You look at the front homepage of Camera's cider mini website, if you like, for want of a better phrase.
Yeah.
And their definition there just says no carbonation or pasteurization. But then you look at the more detailed versions in other places, written by camera, and they do the full 90% apples and all the rest of it.
Okay.
So I don't think they know what they're doing themselves.
Yeah, yeah, true.
Which we've discussed previously.
We have to quite some extent.
So you've got one out of two so far. Question mm-hmm. three, it was what percentage is Dunkerton's premium organic?
Is it 6.9?
Yeah, it's 6.8%.
Do you know what? As I was saying that, I was thinking 6.8 in my head.
I'll give you, because 6.8, 6.9, fair enough.
Yes, thank you.
That's me being generous.
No, because I was thinking 6.8, and as I actually said 6.9. Anyway.
Great, question four, I'd be impressed if you get this.
Okay.
The question was, which principality, or province I'll give you, but it's officially known as a principality, mm-hmm. in the north of the country is known as the home of cider in Spain, producing, amongst others, El Gaitero.
Not a foggiest.
Not even a guess.
Nope, not even a guess.
Surely you must know some provinces in northern Spain.
Nope.
Disappointing, I think.
None.
Asturias.
Right. Not even heard of it.
I would have almost given you points for Galicia. You must have heard of Galicia.
Nope.
No?
Nope.
They have their own cider-making tradition.
I've never been to northern Spain.
Yeah, but have you not heard of the tradition that they've got there with the old pouring the bottles from on high and it's a big... No?
Nope.
They've got their whole cider tradition there and you've never...
Nope.
That's shame on you. Shame on you, IT.
I got two.
You got a very, very loose 2 out of 4.
50%, that's not bad. See how hard it is to think up quiz questions?
I'll be honest, the whole preparation for those two features took me 28 minutes. So I don't know what you're complaining about.
Oh, so hold on, what, that's it?
Well, that's all I've got.
Right. Why? Okay.
I mean, well, I thought at this juncture we would discuss... our re-review, if you like, of four or five of our favourite cider pubs in Edinburgh.
Oh, did you now? Okay.
Well, do you not remember we went out on Friday night?
Oh, yeah, sorry. That's true. We did go out on Friday night. And we had a nice cider crawl in Edinburgh, didn't we?
We went to the Jolly Judge first. We had a half pint each, as that's all we were allowed.
The Jolly Judge is an odd one. When I don't know. I'm interested to hear what
they're... I was going to say what cider we had first, which was the half pint of...
You can't even remember.
No, it was a cider perry combination.
Uh huh.
It was Millie's.
Nope.
What was it again?
It was Lily's.
Lily's, and it was called. It was a pig swill.
Yes, you got there in the end.
Lily's pig swill. So a cider perry mixture combination, something like that, blend if you like.
Yeah.
But we're only allowed half a pint each because it's 7.5%.
Yeah, I've been in the Dodgers before. I think it was when they had Black Dragon and they'd only let you serve you half a pint of it because I can't remember what Black Dragon was. It's over 8% of that one. So it's a bit silly. I mean, for a pub...
Or very sensible.
Well, it is kind of... But for a pub that sells proper cider, you'd think they'd know that cider was generally to that percentage.
Yeah, I don't understand the Jolly Judge. For all the pubs that we've reviewed in Edinburgh, and we've given them more praise than most others, if not any others.
Yeah.
And we get absolutely no feedback from them.
Well...
The bar staff don't really seem to know anything about cider, despite the fact they always have at least one different draft cider on tap, and usually a couple of bottles in the fridge.
They're usually
as well.
Good.
So it's very... It's also a strange pub, let's be honest. Quite small. It's down the back of an alley at the top of the Royal Mile, or at least two-thirds of the way up.
It's always busy when we're there, despite it being tucked out the way.
Yeah. So it's a strange pub. We only like it because of the cider, let's be honest. I mean...
Nah, it's a nice little place.
It is nice. It's a nice little, strange little theme about it. And it is a nice little pub on the Royal Mile, and it happens to do very good cider. But the thing I don't understand about it is it goes out of its way to make good cider, but you wouldn't know it.
Yeah.
It goes out of its way to serve good cider.
Yeah, yeah.
Makes an effort, but nobody else seems to know about it. It's almost like it's a complete mistake. But it can't be, because they're constantly rotating.
Yeah, yeah. It's an interesting one. I was just going to check, actually. Because, I mean, you say that we've never heard anything from them. I mean, to be honest, the only way we've talked to them is was via Twitter. But I was just looking on Twitter to see if they might just never use Twitter. But actually, they are active on Twitter.
But not only that, I met somebody one night who knows the proprietor.
Oh yeah, that's right.
And she talked to the proprietor and told so that we'd get sort of mention from them or something like that. Nothing.
Hmm.
So it's very disappointing, to be honest.
It's a weird one.
We left the Jolly Judge. We got our fill of good cider, even if it was only half a pint. We went back to the Brewdog pub.
We did go back to Brewdog.
Fantastic pub.
I like Brewdog.
Strange location. It's in the Cowgate.
Yeah.
Which is the kind of place in Edinburgh, for those who don't know Edinburgh, the kind of place where you go to where you're already, you've had a few.
Yes.
And you're just looking for a place where you can have a few more.
Yeah.
And you don't really care where or what you have.
Yeah.
That's the kind of place you go at the Cowgate generally. But in the Cowgate, amidst all the sick and people staggering about, there's a quality pub serving quality beer and quality cider. And that's where we went, pretty much just to get some Sanford Orchards.
Yes. I mean, Brewdog is, pretty much the complete opposite of the rest of the Cowgate places.
It is. It stands out like a shining light amongst the dross of Edinburgh.
Was it say when you go in, no shots, no football, no other stuff that other pubs have?
Yeah. It'd be better if you knew the full story.
It would be better if I knew it, but it's a good list. It kind of tells you immediately as you walk in the door what kind of pub it is. It's not, like, don't get me wrong, it's not like a snooty pub like the Canny Man, where it was like no mobile phones, no speaking.
No, it's more of a gimmick. No, they're kind of taking the piss out of themselves.
Aye, no, they're a good place to go. But
you can get your punk IPA, or you can get some Sanford Orchards Devon Red, or as we got this time,
yeah,
Sanford Orchards Scrumpy.
Sanford Orchards Devon Scrumpy, which we were quite surprised
Very good.
About.
Even better than the Devon Red.
Yeah, I think I did prefer it to the Devon Red. It's still, and it's
tasty. Got that kind of nice, sweety, tangy thing that Sanford Orchards do, and it's still a good Scrumpy as well.
Yeah.
I like when you get that kind of combination. And then we moved on. We went to the Blue Blazer.
It was, yes.
The Blue Blazer, which is good cider pub. Good pub, generally.
Well, good pub. I mean, cider-wise...
Toll Cross area.
The reason we went there is they've got Cidre de Roquetante's Longueville cider there. So that's the reason I went there.
They've also got a good ginger beer that's name always escapes me.
Yeah, you have it every time and always forget what it is. They do have a different ginger beer that I've never seen before. They've got Thistle Cross, I think, on tap.
Yeah, they're very...
Not something else. But, I mean, yeah, it's a nice wee pub. They get good marks for selling Longueville cider.
And Thistle Cross on draft and a good ginger beer that's not a usual one. So you'd have to give them... I mean, we're regrading pubs here, but we're confirming our...
Yeah.
Views
yes. I mean, pretty
good,
much
good cider pubs in Edinburgh.
The pub call we had the other night was pretty much going via all the best pubs that we've come across previously.
We went to Cloisters afterwards.
We did, because Cloisters got in touch with us to say that they had a Lily's Crazy Goat cider perry combination on tap.
A different variant of a cider perry blend.
Yeah, it was a bit weird that that in the same night we effectively came across a pub selling two Lilies that we'd never heard of previously, and both of them were a perry cider blend.
Yeah,
slightly different percentages.
By the time we got to Cloisters, they had none left.
Yeah, they had run out, despite only having the thing on for 2 days, which I suppose is a good sign.
So we just had a Thistle Cross instead.
We did, yeah.
And we had an extensive chat with the barman, who is not the tweeter, but seems to know about the... In fact, we're talking to him about having a consistent cider pump on draft.
Yeah,
or a one pump devoted to cider.
It was quite interesting to hear from their side why they don't necessarily always have... Because Cloisters is good is that Cloisters does occasionally have a decent cider on. Yeah. They've had Gwynty Draig in the past.
But they don't have very much at any one time, so you need to get there quick.
Yes, yeah.
I mean, that was within 48 hours they'd run out.
Yeah.
So...
By the sound of things, the main reason they don't have a cider on all the time is because when they do... Their ale drinkers complain that they're one pump down.
See, I disputed this. I can't remember exactly what I was saying at the time, but I disputed the fact that they would actually get... I mean, they've got, eight other taps of rotating real ales.
Yeah.
If I was a keen ale drinker, even if I was going in there every day, I'd be quite happy with a kind of one different one per day, at least, and probably within a couple of weeks get another rotation on. So I think he was probably just... talking nonsense.
Well, I don't know. See, I am interested in hearing from the pub side of things why they can't just stick on one decent cider in there. So it is interesting to hear, but...
Well, let's be honest. There's more people. I mean, there's people that are into real ale or far more into real ale than we are to cider, and there's more of them.
Yeah, true.
So I'm sure there's some truth in it, but I dispute the extent to which his truth is valid, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, well, so yes, unfortunately we did miss out in Cloisters.
But nonetheless, a very good cider evening. But that was the plan.
Aye.
We weren't on a discovery mission.
We haven't finished yet.
We haven't finished what?
Our evening.
Oh yeah, we went to a club that was shit.
No, not that place.
Where else did we go?
We went to the Hanging Bat.
Oh, the Hanging Bat, yeah, I forgot we went there first.
So you had Walt Mills.
Yeah.
And I went for the Sheppies.
Was it Sheppies Original? Or
I can't remember.
Dabinet Apple? Or
it wasn't one of the special Sheppies.
The honey cider?
It wasn't the honey. It might have been the Dabinet, or it might have just been standard, whatever the standard Sheppies one is, I don't know. But yeah, good Sheppies. I mean, Hanging Bat's not bad. For having Walt Mills in and Sheppies, two ciders that I don't know where you can get them in Edinburgh in any other pub.
No, I mean, you would struggle to get either in any pub, but you would get Sheppies in a few different shops.
Mm-hmm.
Including even Sainsbury's, I think, sometimes.
All right. I haven't seen them there.
Or maybe Morrison's, one of the two.
Not Morrison's.
Or maybe it's just Margiotta.
Maybe.
But in any case, five good cider pubs, and then we went to a shite club and ruined everything.
I had a hooch.
You had a hooch, yeah. I can't even know what I had. You got a free Curly Whirly when you went in.
Mm.
But the less said about that, the better.
Yeah.
And that was it. Good cider evening. But that was the plan. We weren't on discovery mode that night. We were on good cider night.
Yeah, we've kind of run out of areas to survey in Edinburgh. So,
well, it's not so much that. It's more that there's probably the odd pub here and there, but it's hard to do a proper night.
That's what I mean. We've run out of areas which are kind of obvious to go to check out all the pubs. So, listeners, if we haven't been to your area yet,
we know what the areas are in Edinburgh, and we've done all the central ones, right?
So, yeah, no, we haven't been to every area in Edinburgh though. So, for example, we haven't done over towards.
Do you want to do Collington next?
Towards, well,
what, Nidri?
No, we haven't.
Musselburgh.
One place we haven't done is up by like George Square.
George Square.
Aye, kind of the uni area, like Meadows area.
We've done one or two there. No, we did one.
Not really. We haven't properly checked those out.
What's the place, the Whistle Binkies, when we did that? You mean that kind of area, though?
I can't remember where that is.
The Scream Pub there. Okay, right. Anyway, we're just rambling now.
No, that's the Scream Pub's on off the Royal Mile.
That's in Hunter Square.
No, way further up. Further up.
Or the
you know where the Spiegel Tent used to be? Up by the Meadows.
The Student Union area.
Yeah, that kind of area. We haven't done that area.
Yeah, but that's the student part of town.
Yeah.
We're not students anymore, IT.
We don't need to be.
I suppose.
Still can be checking out pubs up there. So if there is an area, if we haven't been in your area and you'd like us to check out the pubs
for
cider.
Or even a really good pub for cider.
Or a really good pub for cider.
Because
to be honest, even just a pub for cider even just a pub that sells a cider that we haven't had in a pub before. Or that we've never had before.
Yeah.
Would be good to find.
Okay. No correspondence worthy of note?
Not worthy of note tonight.
It's only less than a week and a half since
we've been quite quick, yeah. Mainly because I'm planning to try and get through all the ciders that I have a backlog of before head away to Canada.
So what the listeners might notice is the cider will deteriorate in quality over the next few shows.
No, not necessarily.
I've saved a few good ones.
I'm balancing it. I've gone for these because last time round we had four pretty much good ones we'd never heard of. So this is going to complete contrast. I've gone for the, three that have heard of, but never had, and McCrindles. So, no, there should be some more decent cider to come.
Yeah. The thing is, depending on when we have the next show, I'm proposing we do a cider ramble.
Well, to be honest, I presume by what you mean by that is that neither one of us prepares anything at all for the show other than what four ciders to drink.
Yeah.
Because when I proposed to you in the last week's podcast that I would be handing over the duties of preparing for the show to you, that's kind of half what I expected from this one, i.e. you just not to bother doing anything at all.
But you were pleasantly surprised by the quality of my content.
Yeah, it wasn't bad, actually. It wasn't bad. I'm glad you now have a taste of what it takes to prepare for the show.
28 minutes.
And what I was thinking was, yeah, if even either way, whichever way it went, is that we should do the other one. So, yeah, if you're thinking you want to give it a go of just doing a podcast where we have four ciders and that's it.
Yep.
And we don't check out any news. It's a bit silly not to check out at least any cider news or anything like that, though.
Yeah, but most cider news, let's be honest, it's a bit tiny. We just stick it in because it seems like the right thing to do on a a sporadic podcast.
No, I don't. I always pick out the interesting stories.
Well, it was interesting stories that I thought I picked out right enough as well. But it's a bit of a contrived feature nonetheless. I mean, in the world of cider, news is not necessarily the most important thing.
No, but it is good. It's
I suppose it's...
I'm not saying every piece of news. I'm saying we should at least have a look and see if there's anything obvious that jumps out. Anyway, we are kind of rambling on.
We are rambling
now, to be honest.
To give a wee taste of next week's show.
Yeah.
Or next fortnight's show.
So
get in touch, listeners, at CiderView.
On Twitter.
Or theorchard@ciderview.com.
Uh-huh.
Via the traditional email method.
Yep.
Or write to us at... no, you can't write to us. Can they write to us? What's the address of
I'm
the show?
I'm pretty much, you say this at the end of nearly every single... thing, and I usually say that I think the address is on the website, but then I did have a look, and the address is not on the website.
So write to us via email or tweet us, and we'll be glad to hear from you. And you'll probably get a mention on the show if you've got anything worthwhile of saying.
Yes,
given IT has very low criteria when it comes to real correspondence, but high criteria when it comes to Twitter, getting your name read out from a tweet. What I'm saying. I'm really rambling now.
Yeah,
so
you are. I don't even understand what you're saying.
Anyway, thanks for listening to Edinburgh Cider View. We'll see you next time for episode 23.
Until next time.
Goodbye.